So I just want to start by doing a devotion, and the title of it is Staying True to God. I wrote this probably 15, 20 years ago. King Nebuchadnezzar had conquered God's people, Israel, and taken many captives. He put some young boys into the Babylonian schools to teach them the ways of Babylon. So you don't want to learn the ways of Babylon. We know them as Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when I was a kid, my dad would say, when it was time to go to bed, he'd say, "All right, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go." He would say that every night. But these four would not forget the ways of God. All right, I know we have more than four in this room, but we've got to maintain this. But that's what we're going to be getting into. They would not forget the ways of God. So all of us, train up a child in the way that you go, and they will not forget it. They will not depart. I had some wayward years. I wasn't a drug addict or a heavy drinker or anything like that. I was too shy to go sleep with a girl. So I was stayed true to my future wife. But I wasn't going to church, and really I didn't have a strong desire to go to church. I thought of it as boring. I grew up in the Mississippi Delta. That's where I'm born and raised. And I just wandered for a long time. My main thing is I wanted my peers to like me. I wanted to be liked by those my age, girls especially. And that dominated me. But at the same time, all through those years, I still knew the difference between right and wrong. And I would feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit when I was doing wrong. And as I've told y'all 100 times in here, my dad would write me notes. Even when I was roughnecking in the oil field out in the Texas Panhandle, he'd write me notes. And when I'd go to my mailbox and just see his handwriting on the outside of the letter, I'd start tearing up. Because I loved him, but also because I knew I was not living right. I knew it, and I knew he suspected it, but he never preached at me. He never was like this. He would just share with me something that he's learning anew that God is showing him as he studied in the mornings before he went to work. He was a railroad conductor. So the king changed their names from names that reminded them of the only true and living God whom they love to names that made them think of the Babylonian false gods. He changed their names because he was wanting to change their minds. That's happening with us. I think we're resisting it. I mean, I know we are. This class is, and I believe our church is. We're resisting this, and we're determined, I'm not going to change. I'm a child of God. That is eternal. This is temporary. I'm not going to change. And that's what was happening here. But changing their names did not make them forget the God that they grew up hearing about, oral history. So finally, the king ordered Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and all the people of the kingdom to bow down to his golden image at the sound of his orchestra. So now he's commanding them to do something as king that's going to be visible to everybody. It's not going to be a private matter. It's going to be visible to everybody. They could either do it or not. Everyone bowed down except these four young men. And so in the fury of all this, the king had them thrown into the burning hot fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked in the furnace without hurt or injury because their God, whom they served continually, chose to rescue them from harm. But if you look in Christian history, a lot of people were this bold and they died because of it. Some of them burned. Some of them were nailed to a cross, martyred. They were martyred for their faith. But for some reason, God allowed these young men to be free from that. But he doesn't always do this. So then, later, another king threw Daniel into the den of lions, but God shut the lions' mouths. So God intervened again to keep them from dying. So they had made a choice in their hearts while they were still young. I'm going to go the way of God no matter what happens around me, even if it means I'm going to die. They followed through, but they didn't die as far as what the king was trying to do to them. Peter and the apostles in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, had the same heart attitude. For when the choice came whom they would obey, they said, "We must obey God rather than men." All right. We must obey God rather than men. That is what the Bible teaches us to be. We're to remain in the Word of God. We're to be carried along by the Holy Spirit within us. We're to obey the promptings of the Holy Spirit and obey what we know God's Word says, even if it goes against our emotions. We must obey God rather than men. And then remember what Joshua said to the children of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. Who are you going to serve? In other words, choose, and don't think about it, choose today, who are you going to serve? We can serve ourselves, or we can serve men, or we can serve Satan. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's at the front doors of many homes of Christians. So that is the proper way for us to see what's going on right now. I do believe, and I'm not trying to be dramatic, and I've said this several times, long before the attempted assassination of Donald Trump, and I know he's not Jesus, so I'm not fooled by that, but I honestly do not see anybody else right now that can push through what at least we're trying to save our republic that was, I believe, formed by God and through His Word, through His servants. But we're being, by the media that's controlled by the Department of Justice, that's controlled by the FBI, which I think has been compromised, trying to change our minds. All right, and we should say, no, I'm not serving men, I'm serving God. I'm not obeying men, I'm obeying God. And there's going to be consequences. And like I've said, it's going to be a miracle if Donald Trump's still alive. And I said this long before the assassination attempt. And I still believe it'll be a miracle if he's still alive for the election. If he is alive, that means God's allowing it. And yes, we do remember that God uses good kings and bad kings. And Donald Trump, he's not the most spiritual man you could ever listen to, but he is staying by our Bill of Rights, our Constitution, and he is against abortion. And Christians, really, we just don't have an option. It doesn't seem we have an option. I pray that he's going to become a more spiritual man because of what he's going through, that he may start being less serving himself and more serving God, which he is a Christian from what I've heard. All right, in the mornings I've been reading, even though we're Southern Baptist, this is from John Wesley, but it's a Christian classic, so Baptists, Catholics, everybody, a lot of people have read his book, what's called The Three Simple Rules, which is a Wesleyan way of living. It's called Three Simple Rules. And the thing is that it's not so much trying to live like John Wesley, because he was just a human. And I have even read that his wife sometimes would stand up while he was preaching in a congregation and call him a liar out loud. So I don't know what the problem was there. But anyway, he's been used by God in some marvelous ways, and the principles he lived by remind you of Jesus Christ. So it's not so much becoming like him. Yeah, you were a Methodist growing up, right?
Okay. Did he start the Methodist Church?
Yeah, he was the founder of it. So he had three principles to live by, and it was do no harm, do good, and the third and last one, stay in love with God. That's a powerful one there. And that's agape love. That's not just your affectionate love of God, but it has to do with the Holy Spirit shed abroad in your heart, Romans 5:5. So I've been going through this in the mornings, and I've been thinking about my response to political things, and I know I have to be careful. I think we all should be careful, but at the same time, I think we should be like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel. So, but the thing is, the Bible says that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, that's your mind, will, and emotions, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If getting focused on the principles that we feel that are from God, from His Word, that's in our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, we could get so focused on, I'm not compromising, and I don't want my nation to compromise, and those are both correct. We should not compromise. But at the same time, are we willing to die for this? And if we think that might or might not happen, I wouldn't be surprised if some of us may come to that. We're still young enough that we may come to where we say, I cannot compromise here. God's Word says this, and they say, son, go to jail, or or we're going to execute you. We could come to that. I hope that doesn't happen. But when that happens, I'm going to have a hard time loving, and I'm going to have a hard time not hating. And I know the answer. It's the Holy Spirit in me is the answer. Paul said, not I, but Christ. But still, I have to make a choice to allow the Holy Spirit to respond through me by His Word as it comes down our path to be totally controlled and be enslaved. And I like the 3 points here because they're simple. Do no harm. Do good. Stay in love with God. You say, okay, what if we have to go to combat? That's a big issue for a lot of folks. Can I go to combat and still love and do no harm and all that? Well, if you look at the Old Testament, people lost their lives going against Him. I would hope every time I would have to defend my family and myself, I would hope it would break my heart and it wouldn't be rage and hate. But I can't honestly say it wouldn't be. I could get so frustrated and so fed up with what was happening and thinking about my daughter's future that I could move into hatred. But the one who lives inside of me and you is the one who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He lives in us. And we know that He was perfect. He never sinned. He never compromised. So in these simple rules, it talks about we're to love even our enemies. And we're also to live our lives not passing along rumors of bad things about other people. We're to do no harm, but at the same time, we've got a person who's running for president that has a very, very sordid history. And we were shocked that the 2020 election happened the way it did, and we may find ourselves shocked again. I pray that that does not happen. But we're trusting in the Lord in these things. But we're supposed to continue to do no harm. We're supposed to continue to do good to people, even our enemies. And we're supposed to continue to love God, which should be our motivation. So I've been thinking about these things, and I just wanted this to be in our mind as we talk about this. So how do y'all see this as far as we're not supposed to do harm? We're supposed to love even our enemies. We're supposed to always do good, not only to those that love us, but even to those who are against us. We're supposed to do good. We're supposed to love them. And then we're supposed to continue to love God, which I thought was powerful, that being the last principle. As I've said before in here, we have to distinguish between brotherly love, phileo, and godly love by the Holy Spirit, agape. We have to distinguish between the two. Because even lost people can genuinely love another person, and they can be loved by other people. The only people on this earth that has agape is Christians who have the Holy Spirit in them, and the first fruit of the Spirit is love, which is agape. And agape, we know, is because God is immutable. God is constant. So that means when the Bible says in 1 John that God is love, that means He is love and He's constant and He doesn't waver in love. But the truth is this, in our humanity, we do waver in love. So, I mean, we're just now beginning in August and the election's coming soon. We're just now beginning and we're so close. And I think if we're not careful, we're going to become haters instead of lovers because of what we're seeing, what we're hearing, and what we're expecting might happen. So I want us to just discuss this. How do we deal with what's happening in our nation right now leading up to this election? And also, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, we do not obey man, we obey God. We do not compromise our principles, though it's going to make us look really bad to people who are already compromised or they're not children of God. How are we going to do this? Not just one time, but maybe many times we're going to have to activate this. How are we going to do this without just getting angry, bitter? How are we going to do this? What are some thoughts?
I think that we've got to right now, today's Christians, got to realize we are in that Romans 1 world.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have to do like Paul said, we have to stand to our faith.
Yeah.
Democrat, Republican does not matter anymore. I see myself voting for Tulsi Gabbard or Robert F. Kennedy now compared to the rest of them. You got to look at it. It's a spiritual world. It's a, well, you got to realize now we're not in a political world. We're in a spiritual world.
Yeah, this is a spiritual issue. I really believe that. What do you think, Lee?
I definitely have a different outlook than a lot of people in that, I mean, I understand completely what I can control and the things I can't control. And so for the things that I have no control over, and just like there was an election in Shelby County this week that an individual said, I don't know anything about anything, but to vote for me because I'm black, and she won.
Mm-hmm. That's skin color instead of the content of the heart.
Right.
Yeah.
I voted for the individual that actually was competent, and she lost.
Yeah.
I said, okay, I did what I could. I'm comfortable with that. I understand there's things that I can't control, and so I don't worry about those things anymore. If the United States ceases to exist, that will be okay. God's still in control.
Not that you want that to happen, but if it happens, what you're doing, you're looking at this through the eternal eyes of God. Nothing can happen unless He allows it. And sometimes we don't understand, why did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel escape physical death, but then there's a whole list of Christian martyrs all these years? God's sovereign.
God's sovereign, and God may have not had them in mind at all. But Daniel, after he went through that, he had a story to tell.
Yeah.
Probably many, many people were saved because of his message. And others that went through the fire, you know, they may have been simple individuals that have no story to tell right now. I'm just an average, ordinary guy. But because I love God, you know, He's given me a unique perspective. I have a story to tell. And so people may have been saved simply by seeing them hold to their conviction. We'll never understand why some things happen the way they did. We're obviously not in control, but if we still focus on the three principles of Wesley and do what God wants us to do, we're going to be fine. Yeah. Even if I get killed, even if I get martyred.
Absent from the body, present with the Lord. What you're saying, I understand it.
It's natural for us to focus on politics. We don't like what's going on.
Right.
But there's not a thing that we can do about it. Even praying to God, please let so-and-so get elected. If God said, that's not what I have in mind.
You trust me. That's where we are. You trust me.
We're not smart enough to get out of bed every morning.
Yeah.
I think we're really not. I think He's keeping His word. Something has to happen in the United States anyway for the things in the Middle East that are going on. You've got Iran. They talk about possibly got a nuclear warhead from Pakistan, and now they want to launch against Israel. Yeah. Think about it. The focus, something has to happen in the United States.
It is amazing with our history and what has happened that we're not mentioned in God's Word. But going back to what you said in Wesley's book here, under the do-good principle, he says, now I am willing to do a little good, maybe even give another couple of $100, or maybe help those in poverty. Will the demands for my time, my influence, and my money become overwhelming? Even if I can see that this could quickly get out of hand, and before I know it, my whole life is given away, I am not sure I am willing to live in such an uncontrolled situation, is what you were just saying. In other words, is our problem human control instead of saying God is sovereign, He's in control? He said, I am not sure I am willing to live in such an uncontrolled situation. Perhaps control is the dominant word here. There are obstacles to this way of living, these three principles, basically of absolute surrender to God. And at the top of the list may be my desire to be in control.
See, most of us are old, and we can see. I feel for the young folks. I feel for your daughter.
Yeah.
And you care about your daughter. Therefore, this is a lot more pressing. But for people like me, takes me to tomorrow, today, I'm good. My brother's going to have to take care of my stuff.
He just had his appendix removed. So He's had to think about some things before they put you to sleep.
At one point, I heard Steve Gaines talk about it before. He felt like if he was on this planet during World War II, that he would be convinced that Danny Carson would be Hitler, you know? So we've been through some difficult times in the country before. It looks like everything's collapsing, but it may not be collapsing. It may be another 1,000 years before he comes back.
Yeah, we don't know, but the kings of the North, they're definitely aligning together. And now with the currency issue, the dollar's being devalued, so we are losing control. And they're seeing we're going to have to come together to deal with them. And the way they're dealing with us is right here in our mind. Why did TikTok, why was it banned? Basically, this has been happening since 1960s. We've been in a time of our minds being basically redeveloped according to our federal government instead of mom and dad in my local church and the people in my community. More and more community now is the internet where everybody's spending all their time. Satan, who I do believe, Donald Gray Barnhouse said, sails a sinking ship. I do believe that. But the thing is, I am on the ship, but I am a child of God. I just don't want to become an angry, frustrated man, but I don't want to be a passive person either. And I believe the passivity is wrong also. And I believe the answer is we got to stay by the Word of God. I forgot that movie. We ought to all watch it sometime. But this guy went against the king in England because he realized the priest and the king were cooperating together in ways they shouldn't. And he finally got to a point where they ordered the guillotine for him. So he walked up. He just maintained his composure. He realized this is over with. I'm not going to compromise. I'm not going to stop. They've told me I got to go to the guillotine. So he walked up. He bent over. He looked up at the guy who was going to drop it on his neck. And he looked at him and said, send me to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And they went clink, and it went down. And then that was the end of the story.
What was his name?
I got to find out the name of the movie. I cannot remember.
You know, can I make a bit of a comment, maybe ask a question with it? Goes right in line with what everything's being said here. I pray for my country. I pray for our leaders and people in power as we pray for this country, as we should. And I don't pray, when I pray for President Biden and people that are like that are dragging the country down, I pray that their eyes are opened. I don't pray that their agendas are successful. In fact, sometimes in my prayer, and I don't know if I'm right or wrong, I even brought up, I pray their eyes be open. At the same time, I pray, dear Lord, don't let them be successful in these certain actions which are against you and your word. And so that's how I pray. But these days, especially over the past several years, because I'm, like I say, I'm old enough to see such a big change in this nation from when we were young. And I know that at the same time I'm praying for our nation, I know God's hand of judgment's pressing down on us and pressing a bit harder than it was maybe before.
That's,
because we've become so ungodly. Now, there's a remnant. There's Christians throughout. And I pray for revival in this land. And I want to see the country better. And too, I want to see us succeed.
I've got
a godly nation again. I don't know. But there's another part of me seeing the hand of judgment on us and seeing how simple and evil we become and allowing such practices and things to just be normal. Calling good evil and evil good.
Yeah.
That and I know it's so. I get so frustrated because I know we're being judged. And then this happens, and this is very recent concerning the conflict in Israel starting October 7th. We're going to get all behind Israel for a couple of days, and now ever since then we've drawn back a little more. Drawn back our political leaders.
Is that not shocking
more
to y'all?
And more.
That's shocking.
Kamala Harris got up there this past week, about a week back, I guess, and she started out, well, Israel has the right to defend herself, and that's about all she said positive toward Israel, because the rest of it
was negative.
Was getting on to them and saying you should, trying to tell them how to defend themselves and you shouldn't do this and that, and plus we're holding back our weapons and the help that we gave them, we're slacked off and we pulled back. I said, what in the world are you doing? The Word of God said, those who curse, those who help, God bless, those who won't. I could come to a point if we criticize, come to a point where we're against Israel, which a lot of people in this country already are.
Yeah.
A lot of them already are. Mm-hmm. And so when I see these things, the frustration just builds up and builds up.
That's why I'm having this kind of special time today, is because we're feeling the same things. And I just want us no compromise, but also I want us to still do good. I want us to still love God, and I want us to love even our enemies. But I'm not saying passivity. All right, Bonhoeffer, that movie's coming out this month somewhere. He was a pastor. He was a theologian. He wrote 4 or 5 books that people are still reading and blessed by. But he was also a spy against Adolf Hitler. Was he wrong? I don't think he was wrong. I think he was protecting his family, his flock. They shot him. They lined up a bunch of guys, and he was one of them, and they shot him. And there's a movie coming out this month somewhere. But I'm just saying, did he do wrong? Did he do good? Yes, he did good. We're still reading his works, and people are blessed by his writings. Did he love Jesus? I believe he did love Jesus with his whole heart. Did he do good? I think he did good, and then with the war, he was trying to do good by somehow or another he had access to intelligence, and he knew where to go to get it to bring Hitler down, and he got caught doing it. I'm this complicated, I know.
Well, I give all this frustration to finish off train of thought that I was going with. I just give it over to the Lord. I think about God and allow the Holy Spirit to deal with this within me, because I know I got to love Him, but I don't have to like Him, possibly. Is that wrong or right? As far as
no,
really
I like
bad leader.
That's a good way to say
I love Him. I want Him to see Him saved.
Agape.
I want to see Him saved.
But you don't necessarily like the content of their heart that's coming out. But
that verse in Ephesians means more now. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities.
This is a spiritual war. This is a spiritual war.
This is no longer a Democrat, Republican, USA.
This is Satan and his demons.
Hey, look at it. I mean, half the Republicans ain't worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're compromised.
Like we talked about before, you see certain Democrats that we considered in the 90s, oh, they're way left liberal, and some of the Republicans, they're together now, and they're trying to save the country. So that kind of tells you something. So, and I think that's why I think we're in a Romans one world. I think he's going to, if America doesn't straighten up, he's going to give us a reprobate mind. This country will have a reprobate mind.
This is the Romans 1, not all of it, but the portion I believe you're thinking about. Romans chapter 1, verses 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. And we need to talk about the judgment of God on America, because we're seeing this in our country among Americans, but God is still against it. And so, against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, and what do they do? Who suppress the truth in unrighteousness? And like I always say, and I heard this many years ago, it's like taking a basketball, putting it underwater in a swimming pool. It's not that the basketball is not there. It is. But it can't be seen. But if it let go, it will be seen. What's happening is truth is being suppressed in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because what may be known of God, there is a God, is manifest, that is, made visible to them. Why? For God has shown it to them. There is no excuse here. For since the creation of the world, not just the United States, the whole world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. I mean, just look at nature. Being understood, notice, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Basically, deep down, they know there's a God. It's written in the heart of man there is a God, but they're suppressing the truth, and that's what Satan is doing. He blinds the minds of the unbelieving. And those who are lining up with him, some don't even know they're lining up with Satan, but they're basically doing his deeds. They're blinding people from seeing the truth, because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. Have we become less thankful in America? But became futile in their thoughts, more and more confusion. And the author of confusion is Satan. That's what's happening. It's an unseen war. And their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, here we go again with the judgment. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. And we know the father of all lies is Satan. The lie. And worshiped and served the creature. Basically, we're all creatures of God. Rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Some people think, I even heard Adrian said, I wonder if that is AIDS. I heard him say that one time. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, that's what's happening. It's like more and more we don't want to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a debased mind. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents, undiscerning. In other words, when you say, how can they be doing this? What are they thinking? This is it. It's undiscerning. Their minds have been blinded. They're not controlling themselves. They're being controlled by another. Satan and his demons is what's happening. So, Saul of Tarsus, I bring this up a lot, before he was the Apostle Paul, was arresting Christians and with legal papers and putting them in jail until he had his blinding Damascus Road experience. And he ended up writing most of the New Testament. If God sometimes, we don't understand, why did he let Saul of Tarsus do what he did in his future when he had done so many wrong things and stood by while Stephen was being stoned, a martyr, and watched the cloaks? Why? Probably because people would steal like they do today. He watched their cloaks while they stoned him and did not stop them, and with hearty approval.
Part of the reason I think he did that, God did that, was to show the depth of his forgiveness, how deep his forgiveness could go. You can't get much worse than Paul in his sinful.
And he saw Stephen's face that was shining like an angel. He never got that out of his head.
Like you said, God knew where Paul was going to end up. When he was in that place, God knew he was going to be using him and how much he would mean to his church and to his agenda, God's agenda. And so I think that's at least part of it, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and if you look at all of history, look what God allowed to happen to his chosen people. What was it, 2 million that died in gas chambers? He allowed that to happen to his people. Look what happened to Rome. I mean, at one time, all roads led to Rome. No more. And America, if we read this and think about it, I mean, I love America. I love our history. I love the way we started. It really is. It's a miracle. And we know where the miracles come from. But look what has happened to us. So, let's get back to the judgment thing. It angers me when I see what's happening to the country I grew up in. But if this is a judgment from God, which I agree with you, ultimately we're coming to one world and a one world ruler because the Bible tells us so. That's it. So what do y'all think about what we're experiencing that's aggravating us right now? Do you think it's the judgment of God?
Most definitely.
I think that one of the things that ignites a lot of the problems that occur in America is the pornography on the phones and stuff like that. I mean, when a six-year-old can get on the phone like that, you know, it's the depraved world. And, you know, it just seems like it gets worse and worse every year, every passing year. The family's falling all to pieces and everything. And you can't, us as a revival, he can't put the pieces back together again, you know, but God can. It's his choice, you know, but even if we have a revival, there's still going to be you reap what you sow. That's God's judgment. And, you know, I don't see any way out of it unless it's God's sovereignty. But again, it could be 1,000 years from now. We just don't know. We have to pray for it.
Well, I feel like we all agree God's judgment hand is upon us now. But I think in a mild way, because there's so many things like the grid going down or being attacked or whatever the case may be. We know a lot of these scenarios, I guess, right? And some of those could be starting to happen, and they really haven't in a bad way yet. It's been minor. You know, Texas went out during the last winter really bad. A big section of Texas went out, and they had really bad ice stuff going on. In small ways, it's been happening, but we could be hit a lot harder than we are now, judgment-wise.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, do good, love, do no harm. If my people who are called by my name, that can only be Christians. Those without Christ are not called by his name. It's talking about us. Now let's go further into this. He's not beating us up because he's surprised, because God knows everything. He loves us, but he knows we're not going to turn back to him without things being hard and complicated. My ultimate feeling is this is happening not because God is shocked at the way what we've become. He knows. But he's allowing this to make us turn back to him. And look, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn to me, I will do what? Forgive their sin and heal the land. He didn't say the unbelievers. He said my people. And if you think about it, to do good, to do no harm, and to love God, we're the only ones on earth that can do that. And the only way we can even do that is by the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us. And I believe if God's children would repent and begin to walk with God again, and if we stayed consistent, I believe the world, not everybody, but I believe we might be shocked how many Apostle Pauls are just on the fringes that would say, I can tell he's been with Jesus. They knew that they'd been with Jesus by the love they had for one another. If this world began to see that, we may have a lot more years than we realize. But at the same time, I do agree, it looks like we are at the point where the world will become one, and we can do that now with the internet, and then the man of sin will arise and set himself up in the temple. And you know what? Satan masquerades as an angel of light. If he's living in a person, people find themselves liking that person. Look, how in the world did Satan influence a third of the angels to turn their back on the direct presence of God and follow him? That's how powerful he is. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I believe what Lee was saying, our relationship to God has got to be first. You know what I mean? Everything flows to that. But as a countryside, basically, it's a, you know, constitution, one nation under God, so we're eliminating that authority figure. Therefore, so like I said, everybody do the thing. And then, like we're touching, you know, blessings or curses are based on what we do, the principles of God's word. His judgment is almost our actions, fruit coming forth. You know, like you were talking about giving them up. I love you, so I'm letting you do your will. But the consequence is what I said, I think this is going to be the consequence. You obviously don't understand it. You're going to know firsthand what they are. So it's his love that's allowing that, but we're reaping the fruits of the consequence. And I do believe that we're going to fall, we're not mentioned. So ultimately, we're going to fall, but we got to stand true to God. But then, like you were saying, if Christians do what they were supposed to do, our nation would get that way because we'd have influence in our area and it would just grow. So it is responsibility of us to keep our relation right and do what's right. Instead, we compromise being politically correct, which what is political correct. Basically, it's attacking the principles of God's word. The majority of it is.
On both sides, yeah.
Yeah. So, really, we're just reaping the fruit of our actions, you know. So, that's kind of what I'm saying. I'm probably hitting it lightly, but, you know, I do believe judgment's coming, but it's also due because we're not doing what we're supposed to do.
We're the only ones in power. What do you think?
Well, I don't want to get too political.
Well, this is just one class we're doing this.
We're
wide open.
I think the country right now is being run by the devil, to be quite frank with you.
Yeah, I agree.
and I think it has been for many decades. It's all coming to fruition now. As far as this country, I mean, Kamala is just a puppet, not much different than Biden was.
I agree with that.
And I think that, you know, the other president that was in power for about two terms is the guy that's pulling the strings, and we all know what that was all about during his time. I do feel like the Lord's coming back, but I do feel also I want to fight.
Yeah.
I don't like to sit around.
I'm the same way.
I want to fight. I don't want to, I don't mind being a martyr. I don't have a problem with being a martyr, but I want to fight. I want to fight for what I believe is ours. Patriotism is going in the tank. Good is now evil. Evil is now good.
Yep.
And a lot of people that I hang out with are kind of putting their head in the sand.
Yeah.
Letting things happen. And I believe you should do something.
Yeah. What you're saying now is the main reason I said I'm just going to do something different this Sunday. Because I feel those same feelings. I just want to know I'm doing the right thing. I'm not talking about compromising, and I'm willing to stick my neck out, to be honest with you, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Right. Those who I've loved the most in my life are already there. Actually,
I apologize for that. I had to take that. I apologize for that. I don't want nothing disturbing me from this class.
Yeah, you don't have to.
That'll never happen again.
You don't have to apologize. Just give us all $100 bill.
Okay.
But I think we'll work on it. Is that I think we always think about America, which we should. But look at Israel, what's happening. Their friends are leaving them. They're having to stand on their own, which is also New Testament prophecy. He's forcing them to look one way for help.
Exactly, because guess what? I don't know the statistics. I got one buddy. If he was here, he could tell you all the statistics on Israel. Many of them are still waiting for the Messiah to come. They don't believe that Jesus is their Messiah. And I tell you, this is where we got to be careful. A lot of them who are waiting on Messiah said, no, he's coming in on a stallion. He's coming in. He's going to be king. Not only that, we're going to rule the whole world when our true Messiah comes. Jesus came on a donkey, and he died on a cross at the age of 33. That's more like God than somebody coming in on a stallion. And I think that's the part of Israel that I think we don't need to forget. Many of the millions of them have yet to believe. They are stubborn. And they say the ones, the Jewish, that are in New York City, they can't really tell you much about their own history of their nation that they came from. I mean, they were born and raised here, but they can't tell you much about their ancestors. And look, before there was the United States, look at the history of Israel. They were just like this. They would do good, they'd turn back to the Lord, then they'd go down. Turn back to the Lord, and then they'd go down. All right, now, this discussion, I've got one friend, goes all the way back to my childhood. This kind of a discussion, and when I talk about, the Bible tells us all these things were going to happen, and we're watching it in real time unfold. He thinks I'm being fatal. He said, aren't you being fatalistic when you teach on prophecy? I said, no, I'm just telling the truth, and we're watching these things unfold. He said, but it seems so fatalistic. I think he's done real well. He's very wealthy. He's done very well. He's already retired. I don't think it's fatal. It's truth. Here's the fatal thing. Adam willfully disobeyed God and ate the fruit. That's the fatality. Lucifer, who was perfect, rebelled against God, and a third of the angels went with him. It is fatal, but if we can't la-di-da, 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 kind of like what you said, I don't want to just sit down and do nothing. I want to fight. But at the same time, ultimately, for a child of God, we want to see maybe some Apostle Pauls emerge out of this mess. And then we'll say, you know, we did not like this. We watched what we had. We're losing what we had. And we say, okay, but if we had not, we were going to keep coming more and more like this Romans 1. And so at some point, it's not God thumping us on the nose. That's what we do to one another. He's holding us like babies, saying, turn back to Daddy. I think it's interesting. I see, instead of seeing God as king on a throne, a scepter in his hand, a crown in his head, I see him as a father, because when the disciples asked him, teach us how to pray, he said, our Father who art in heaven. He didn't say our king. Now, I do know he's King of kings and Lord of lords. I understand that. But I do see him more paternally. So this is what I'm saying. Now, let's flip this thing, which we've already flipped it. The ones who can do the most are those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. We're part of the problem, and we are his children. Absolutely. Sovereign.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, when Satan came, you know, and he told the Lord, I've been going back and forth. Remember that? Okay. And but he had to, it's complicated and hard to deal with emotionally, but no matter how bad and how difficult things are, it's stuff that God has allowed in accordance with his plan. So things are not falling apart. They're falling together according to his will.
Sounds like Jan Markell.
Oh, yeah. That's been where I got that.
Yeah.
So this is where we are. In the last days, love will wax cold. That's happening. Even Christian families, because of their children and the internet, Satan has their minds. This is going to be the hard part. When you see we're all male, when you see your wives or your children or your brothers and sisters and your nieces and nephews, when you see, like you said, their heads in the sand, that should grieve us and make us sad, and I want to do something. I don't want to just sit here. I want to do something. So what is that? What is that something that we need to do?
Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit to direct us into what we should do to alleviate whatever problems, individual problems in these families and these situations you mentioned may be.
I think that's right. Because just say if somebody says, buddy, I'm going to study prophecy. What's happening right now? I'm going to study prophecy. All right, if you do that, but you don't communicate with people, it's all staying right there. I'm not saying don't study prophecy. We need to remember, we're away from our Bibles. We're away from being on our knees the majority of the time. We need to walk in unbroken communion by the Holy Spirit wherever we are. And we need to be willing, and I hand out gospel tracts. Me and a team of guys have handed out now over 1 million gospel tracts in big cities. Possibly in September, I'm going to go to New York City with a team, and then probably New Orleans later this year. But then again, I may be too afraid to go into any big city with the chaos that's ensuing. That's another way to control our mind, is to cause chaos. What's the number one thing Satan does? I know I'm getting off track. Here I go. Fear is his number one. If he can get you fearful, he can totally control you. That's why Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, their mind was made up. I'm not serving man, I'm serving God, and I'm not going to compromise the Word of God, even if it means I'm losing my life. End of story. At the same time, we know we're to love our enemies as ourselves. So you say, all this is impossible. No, it's not, because God lives in us. He's not just in heaven watching all this down here, mad and angry, because he already knows all this stuff. It's down to me in my mind, God is allowing us, under his sovereignty, he is in control. He's allowing us either to exercise our will ourselves. He's not making us robots. That's why Adam and Eve could sin to begin with, because they were not robots. He's wanting us to choose by an act of our human will to let go and let God have all of us. And then influence others. Go ye therefore and make disciples to the nations. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And that basically is what you were saying. It's not that you don't care, but you're saying, once I see that I'm not in control, if we tank, we tank. I'm not in control, God is. And if we tank, and God's ultimately in control, there is a reason we may not understand now, but eventually we will, or it'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's like we already won.
When I was 4 years old, my church in Jackson, Mississippi taught me onward Christian soldiers, marching as to war. That was my mindset. So I'm prepared, absolutely, to just take everybody out. I'm okay with that. That's what I was taught. But I have to understand that God does things for his purpose and not mine. And he actually says, vengeance is mine, not mine. And so I am not to...
That's true. That is true. It can't be vengeance.
Right.
It can be protection.
Yeah. So, I mean, I could go to an atheist convention with my AR-15. I can help God out. You know, and I can justify it that way.
Hope you're not recording this.
Yeah.
He wants me to love him. And so, understanding what truth is, being able to communicate what truth is, and be willing to share, that's what into a discussion with someone that doubted the creation story in occurring in a literal 6 days. And this was a Christian. And I just got into the discussion of saying, if my God can truly do what he says he did, and I believe it 100% literally and physically, then I think he could create everything in 6 days. If you do not believe that God could create everything that's in this world in 6 days, then you can diminish and discount every other thing in the Bible. And so let's understand what that truth is. Be willing to share. Be educated. Understand what the Bible. Spend time in the Bible and learn it.
You know, he's so powerful and awesome a God, he could have done it in 6 minutes.
Absolutely. 6 seconds.
He could have.
Right, right. But I mean,
it took him 9 months to create you, though.
Yeah, but if you doubt that, then you can doubt lots of other things. And that's where we get caught in this confusion right now. I had somebody who says, God is exactly what I think he is. And I'm thinking, that is as wrong as you can possibly get. But yet, this individual believed that, and lots of individuals believe that. Some individuals believe that we're running in a computer simulation right now. And I'm thinking, how ignorant is that? But yet, there are some people that believe that.
They saw the Matrix movie too.
Well, I understand. But in order to help them through this and distinguish themselves, and the young folks, they're the ones, everything computer now. It's like, okay, it's upon me that if I have the opportunity, and God puts me in opportunities to share with others what I believe.
That's what we're to do. All this stuff is increasing, and we're to be sharing our faith. So what does the young man, you're probably thinking, these old folks, what are your thoughts? Tell us what we can't see.
I look at everything from a Paul mindset, like in Romans 8:18, he says, for the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us.
Amen.
So I look at it like, you know, not everything is in our control. Ultimately, God's plan is going to be carried out. Regardless if we suffer under some terrible politics or if we lose our lives for our faith, none of it is worth comparing with what's going to be revealed to us in glory. So, you know, I can have faith in God that, you know, whatever we go through, it's going to be all right. And that's how I look at the political state of the world. That's how I look at my generation, all the weird things we believe in, like we're in a computer simulation, like, you know, you can believe that if you want, but ultimately God is in control. And regardless of what you or I believe, regardless of how the world is going, because it's going to continue to get worse and worse, that's what the Bible says, that ultimately it's going to be all right. Like, you know, we might not win every battle, but the war's already won.
Amen. All right, see there, here's a witness. He's 20 years old, but you got the wisdom of 40, 50, 60-year-olds.
So do you think there's hope for us?
Absolutely. I think, you know, there's not necessarily any hope for the world, because it's going to end, right? But there's hope for us who believe in Jesus, that at the end of the day, we're all going to be living eternal, peaceful, perfect lives in Jesus. So there's infinite hope.
Amen. I'm impressed. So I think he's a sheep. I think you're a sheep. Now, when you walk out these doors, there's sheep and the goats. The Bible talks about it. When you walk out those doors, see, they're all wondering if they're sheep. We're the sheep. I'm just joking. Yeah. Yeah.
And like Jesus said, you know, a lot of Christians today, the world's getting the way it is, and they will deny him. So if he denied me before men, I will deny you before my Father. So we got to remember that. We got to be loving, true to the gospel, but stand our faith. We cannot be ashamed of our faith. We have to let it shine out.
You know, the Bible says, as children of God, we war between the flesh and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. We feel this going off in us. There's a war. There's a battle. And as the old Indian said, which one do you feed the most? A black horse and a white horse, which one do you feed the most? All right. The Bible is clear that we can quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. That means the Spirit who's living in God's children, don't suppress Him. Don't quench Him. He didn't say it's impossible. He said don't do it, because it is possible to quench the Spirit. The Bible says do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Grieve is a love word. When somebody's grieving, they've lost someone they've loved. As children of God, we can grieve Him, not that He's surprised, because He knows everything, but because of His great love, when we're just wandered away, following God at a guilty distance, we're quenching what He could do through us, and that's grieving Him, but He's still loving us. If He didn't love us, He could not grieve. So what I'm saying is this. This is an individual thing. And I was getting to this. Homes are splitting apart, even among Christians. Satan, through the internet, through television, and all the stuff, we're getting our minds turned when we don't even know it's happening. And those who are younger, even less mature, it's happening more quickly with them because they're more open to it. What we have to say is, I could get angry about all this, but if the one who lives in me is grieved, am I not grieved at what's happening, or am I just angry? That's the part, basically, that made me want to have this class discussion, because I get under conviction sometimes because I think, I'm not grieving, I'm angry. Now, I got another friend that says, Hodges, don't forget righteous indignation. Don't forget it. And I said, I understand if you're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're not compromising the Word of God. We're not going to obey man over God. So basically, you can throw us in the fiery furnace. You can put us in a den of lions. But we're going to stick with it. And that's where we got to be. But if it looks like it on our countenance and our speech, we could actually help Satan by making more people say, I don't want anything to do. He's holding a Bible in his hand. I don't want anything to do with him. So the only way to deal with this is let the Holy Spirit control you. Other than that, people are going to continue to turn away from the things of God.